The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Youth Voice Amplified are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools office. Any content provided by our guests are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, school, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Youth Voice Amplified covers a wide range of topics that could be upsetting to some listeners. Content warning for each episode and links to resources can be found in this episode's show notes. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics of our storytellers have been changed, but their voices and their stories are real.
When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to give a quick update. My co-host, Brian, is taking a short break, enjoying some special time with his family, and he will be back with us very soon. Today, we're diving into something really special, an event that is not just about leadership, but about students taking the lead, making decisions, and shaping their own future. There are a lot of leadership conferences out there, but how many are truly designed for teens by teens? Leaders in Life is so unique because of that. This isn't just an event where adults decide what's important and tell students what to think. This is a conference led entirely by students, from choosing speakers to workshops and handling all the logistics to make sure it all comes together. It proved that when young people are trusted to lead, they create something powerful. And after all these years, it is still going strong. So today we are celebrating this incredible milestone and talking about what makes youth-led leadership so important. To help us do that, I had the chance to sit down with local students Alyssa, the Chair of Leaders in Life, and Sienna, this year's conference MC and part of the planning committee. Please enjoy our conversation with Alyssa and Sienna. Alyssa and Sienna, welcome to Youth Voice Amplified Podcast. We are so happy to have you on. Before we get started with our interview, can you both introduce yourselves real quick so our listeners know who's who?
So, hi, my name is Alyssa. I am in 11th grade. And yeah, I am the Chair of Leaders in Life, and I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, and I'm Sienna. I'm also a junior. I'm on the General Planning Committee, and I was also the MC this year.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. So obviously, before we get started with our podcast, I'd like our listeners to get to know you guys a little bit better. So our icebreaker today is, what is your favorite midnight snack?
Okay, so I'll go first. My favorite midnight snack is pickles with any sort of chip. I don't care what type of chip it is, but I love pickles or an ice cream.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
It's so good. Yeah. I recommend it, guys.
I do not like pickles. Mine is cucumbers and strawberries with lemon, like, squeezed on top. Uh-huh. I just discovered it, and it's so good.
That sounds fire.
It does. It sounds very refreshing, too.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you have a sweet tooth, it satisfies that.
I'm a very big cucumber person, and I do love pickles, so.
Yeah.
Both of them sound like pretty good options. We also like to ask our guests our signature question. What does Youth Voice mean to you?
Youth Voice to me basically just means speaking on issues that not only you as a teen may be going through, but also the peers around you. And not just talking about these issues, but actually bringing awareness to them and making changes happen.
Yeah, and to me, Youth Voice is being able to have the ability to express and discuss ideas while being able to also be heard and understood. And it could be anything from just community service or to being able to speak up for what you believe in.
Awesome. Those are such descriptive meanings. That's so cool. So let's get started with the basics. For those who may not be familiar, what is Leaders in Life and what makes it so special?
So Leaders in Life is a youth-led, youth-ran committee. What makes it so special is that this organization is truly what the motto is, which is youth-ran, youth-led. So we have a general board and an executive board. All the members on the executive board have a committee that they run, whether it's venue and logistics or resource fair or marketing and PR. And they have the general members in their committee, and they plan all year round basically to plan this conference.
So this conference has been around for 25 years, which is super incredible. Can you share a little bit about its history, how it started? Why was it such a groundbreaking idea at the time?
Yeah, so Leaders in Life was founded in 1998 by Morgan Clayton, who is a Kern County businessman. He originally got the idea from a conference he attended in Bakersfield, which it has nationally and international speakers. But he had the idea of founding a local youth conference planned by young people to give them the voice and to provide a space to discuss issues that impact teenagers. He contacted the Kern County Network for Children and the Kern County Superintendent of Schools to help organize students around this concept. Planning for the first Leaders in Life Youth Conference started in 1999 with about 50 students and adults involved. And then in February of 2000, the first conference was held with about 500 students in attendance.
Oh, wow. That is a very thorough history about that.
Yeah, and I feel like this was so groundbreaking at the time because, I mean, this is just something that you've never seen or even still see to this day. So I think that it was really just, it took just one person, and it ended up being Morgan Clayton to really allow the youth to have a voice in the community.
Thank you. So with this event, because it's so youth-led, how do you partner with adults?
We partner with adults truly just by how adults talk to adults, you know, and my team of adult advisors have done such an awesome and amazing job of really allowing us to take the wheel on this one because, yeah, they're really there for legal reasons and they're for support. But apart from that, you know, they know that we know what we're doing and they've seen this year after year. So they just let us do what we got to do.
I like that. I like that they have that trust in you, that you can lead it without worrying or having to be on your shoulders for that. So this is such a fresh and interesting event for students. How do you guys make sure that the topics and sessions stay relevant to what students need today?
Yeah, so Alyssa said earlier how we have our different subcommittees. We have a specific subcommittee. It's like our speakers subcommittee. They usually focus on the topic ideas and things like that. So because we have students working on that, we are able to make sure that it stays relatable and relevant.
Not only that, but we honestly too do get feedback from the attendees being like, hey, maybe this is something that should be talked about more, or this is something that we should kind of not be talked about, or that shouldn't be talked about. So honestly, from their feedback, it gives us a good insight of what the attendees are thinking of, because when we're working, we're really just working and we have this set goal, so we don't really see like the bigger picture at times. So it's really good to get that like constructive criticism, I guess you can say, from the people who attend.
And how do you guys get feedback? Is it like feedback sheets, a Google Doc? Like or maybe like you go and talk to your students? How do we get feedback?
We have a QR code that we post up at the conference. And not only that, but it's in the pamphlet. So when they take it home, they can sign or do that, fill that form out. But we also have it too, I believe on our website, we have our lead advisor's email on there. So if you have any concerns, you can always email her and she'll always forward them to me. Yeah.
That's good. Different ways of contact for different types of feedback. Yeah. So after all these years, Leaders in Life continues to make an impact. What changes have you seen in students who attend? What kind of lasting effects does this conference have on them?
Yeah, so a change that I really see is students who attend realizing that this is really ran by students. And I think that they realize, well, if they can do it, so can I. And that is just my favorite thing as a chair seeing. Like an example is at this past conference, a student who attended, I actually go to school with, and I was out in the halls, you know, talking to other people. And he came up to me being very curious of how to join. And he was like, you know, I'd really love to be on the exec board, but I know I have to have at least 1 year of an experience in the organization, but is there any way I can just join as a general member? And I've talked to him, and it's really fascinating to see that he was inspired by just seeing us up on the stage. So I liked that, you know, that was the outcome that I wanted to see from the students, is realizing that they have a voice, so they want to be a part of this. So yeah.
And just adding to what Alyssa said, a lot of people, they also like leave with a new perspective of what they can do. And not only do they have a voice and power to shape their future, but also power to shape or help shape other people's future too.
And how long have you two been involved with Lunars in Life?
I have been in this since 8th grade. I attended my 6th grade year, which was over Zoom, so 3 years now. But I have been the chair for 2.5 years, and I was just a general board member for, well, one of the years, yeah.
Yeah, well, I first found out about the conference because the ASB at our school is highly encouraged to go every year. So my first year I went, and I thought it was really interesting, but I wasn't really sure about how I could join. So when it came around to going again my second year on my sophomore year, the next day I immediately talked to my counselor and I was like, this is really something that I want to be involved with. And whenever the nominee forms came, she signed me up. So this was my first year, but I have attended a couple times before.
So because you guys have attended and been involved in the planning, how have you seen it evolve over the years?
For me personally, I mean, I just got the sense of what it was like over Zoom, which is way different than when it was than what it is in person. So the what I have seen basically grow is not only attendance, but the amount of people who find it fascinating. Like, some people are forced to go by their schools, but it's just like then the years come around and it's like they choose to go. So I think that that is really exciting to see.
Yeah. And also being able to get feedback from students, we're always making our topics like more involved, more in what students want, what they're interested in, everything like that.
Lunars in Life is so successful because it's planned by students for students. Why is that so important?
It's so important because, I mean, this conference is for students. And when you have the minds of teens and youth running this, I think that, you know, we prepare all year round for this to be for students because it's coming from us, you know. So I think that that is a really big part of this because, I mean, say it were to be coming from adults planning this, I think it would be a much more mature, much more geared for like older children, you know, whereas we have actually middle schoolers in our general planning committee, which is really exciting to see. And a lot of them this year.
And we're also, if you think about, we're living in the same time and ideas as these teenagers are too. So we're really able to indulge and understand what they need to hear or what they need to learn to be able to prosper.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So not every school has something like this. What advice do you have for schools that want to create more student-led opportunities?
I think for schools to start something like this, definitely let the kids take charge. You know, it's really important to allow them to start something like this. And I know Morgan Clayton was able to start this, but once he got it going, he allowed us the voice to get this going. But I think like schools have wonderful ASB programs, and it would just be awesome to see them, you know, maybe even attend Lunars in Life and let us be your inspiration and start something like us.
Yeah, and also being more involved in students' lives, like getting to know your students, knowing what they need, knowing what they want to do, and then helping them execute those things so they can help push students further too.
So nothing great happens without challenges. What are some challenges that you have seen or faced while organizing Lunars in Life, and how did you overcome them?
A major problem that we were seeing is some schools didn't know, you know, the dates of our meetings. So we would have, you know, a meeting where half of the general board members wouldn't attend because their schools wouldn't bring them, not knowing. Not only that, but just, you know, issues within each subcommittee. You know, we are not a perfect organization. We are teens, you know, we still have personal lives and school lives. So that was just something that I saw this year was students were, you know, trying to find that work-life balance, as I would like to call it. So, you know, finding time to reach out to donors, finding time to ask for sponsorships. So yeah, that was just from what I seen. And then at the conference, we did have one workshop leave. They canceled on us the morning of, so I had literally 5 minutes to come up with a new workshop to hold 200 students, which we were able to do, which is really exciting.
And what would you say to students in other communities who want to create something similar?
I think that it's really important that we're able to collaborate with adults because they do have that more mature mindset, and they also have the voices to collaborate with other adults as well. So if we have those adults behind us, they're able to help us push us further.
What role does the community play in Leaders in Life and the event, and how can the attendees engage with one another?
I think a major role that the community has, the community has a lot of resources to provide, and that is something that people truly need to realize, whether that's just a sponsorship aspect or donors. But the community gives us a lot of support, and that is something that has grown throughout the years with Leaders in Life. Once people started publishing what we were on their, you know, news channels, we started to gain a lot of support and a lot of adults behind us who were willing to help us with, you know, the money aspect or just getting the word out there to their kids and their grandchildren. So the community does a great job in supporting us.
So now switching over to you two and your personal lives and just your leadership journey. Obviously, you've gone into this event knowing that you have this power, and how has it really built your leadership journey?
So like I said earlier, I started my Leaders in Life journey through the ASB at my school, but I wasn't really flourishing there yet. But this year I got the opportunity to MC. And originally I wasn't going to do it, but I had a friend encourage me to. So I signed up. So that's one area that I really saw myself grow, even though it's something I've been involved in before, but being able to do it in such a large amount of people really helped build my confidence.
Yeah, and for me personally, I've always been a part of the like ASB, and whether that was in elementary school, middle school. But kind of like what she said, I was always very shy, I guess you could say. I was very shy. I never spoke when given the chance to. You know, public speaking was my worst enemy. And when I took on the role as chair, I was actually kind of I had this experience, I guess you could say, where my subcommittee head at the time, she told me, she was like, hey, by the way, you're going to go up there and introduce today's meeting to everyone at a general meeting. And I was like, you're lying, because there's no way I can do that. And she was like, no, you got this. So after that day, like, that truly got me over my fear of public speaking. And I'm always, you know, forever thankful for her for putting me in that position, because I truly believe it just takes one person to make you do something to get you over that fear. And now as my role as chair, it's just so awesome to see that I was once that shy person who is now the one leading these meetings, and I'm now able to bring people up there with me to speak with me. And I get to go out into the community and speak about Leaders in Life with no problem.
I know I'm saying an event can be hard. I remember doing my first like moderated panel, and I remember how nervous I was. And then once I was actually doing it, I was like, oh, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, that's how it was for me. Because you're standing there and you see all of the people standing right in front of you. Like, wow, this is a lot of people. But once you start talking, you're already doing what you're supposed to be doing for the rest of the time. So you're like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, she did great. She did great. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And then also, I'm a chair of a subcommittee here in our community, and I understand what it's like having to be put in that position of power, and people are always like, well, what do you think?
Yep. You're
like, huh? Who? Me? Yeah. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. You're talking to me? So I get it.
Or having to make such big decisions. Having to make such major decisions, and it's like the spotlight is on you. So, yeah, that's a big
thing. I know it can be hard trying to think about what everybody wants and trying to make sure it aligns with
and trying to make everyone happy. And it's just like, I can't make everyone happy. I'm trying, guys.
Yeah, and if you also think about it as, like, a co-chair, you're trying to think about the overall good of the people and not mm-hmm. what everybody wants is always what they need. So sometimes you're going to have to say no, and that's not always easy. Yeah.
So with you guys' leadership positions that you've taken on, what has that experience been like? You touched a little bit about it with being chair and then being the MC, but how do you see it working in your future to the better for you? Do you see yourself taking more more opportunities for leadership in the community? Do you really enjoy what you do? And do you see this kind of rolling out the map for your futures?
Yeah, I think a big part of leadership is comes from different abilities, you know, organization skills, speaking skills, and then, of course, that leadership aspect and being able to work with others. And so for me, because I have been basically running this, I have had a goal of starting my own organization while I'm in college. And so I think that with me having this background already, that would be a great help. And yeah, so I think that being able to work with others has really allowed me to be able to even think of this idea, because it takes a team. It really does. There's no way I would be able to do this without my team.
Yeah, and for me, leadership has always kind of been a part of my life. Whenever I was in fifth grade, I started working with my school for a community service program we had. And ever since then, I've always just been involved in little things. So as I'm getting older, I can't really see my life without a little bit of that leadership aspect. So I think subconsciously or not, I think I'm always going to find something that's related to something like this.
Before I even got into podcasting, I didn't know how much I loved it or how much I would enjoy it until I actually did it. So that's why I ask, because you never really know how much you're going to enjoy something until you do it. And you're like, wow, that was actually, I could do this forever. So that's why I ask. What is the biggest lesson that you have learned from being a part of this team?
I think for me personally, the biggest thing that I have learned is I can't make everyone happy all the time. And I am such a people pleaser. And so it really sucks when I have to say no sometimes. So that is just something that I have learned. And I've really just stood my ground these past few years. I've stood up for what I know is right and what I know is the right thing to do. So
the biggest lesson for me, I think, is learning how to say no. I have always been involved in a lot of stuff. I do the ASB at my school. I'm president, and I'm president of another club at my school. So I'm always so busy. So when somebody asks me to do something, my instinct is like, yes, I'll do it. But it's also important to learn to say no and to learn how to prioritize things.
What is one misconception about student leadership that you want to set straight?
I think a lot of people think that leadership is about having a title, when that's really not true. You could be the student body president or the team sports captain, but that's not really what leadership is about. It's more about influence and how you inspire people and the actions you take, no matter what your role is. You don't need a title to be a leader. Leadership can look like helping a friend when they're struggling, or standing up for what you believe in, or organizing a group to do something good. It's the little things that really make a difference. And when students realize they can lead without a title, it changes how they think about their role in school or in their community, as well as having an impact on people around them, no matter where they're at in life. And it starts with just that one person, because you never know where that person is at. And you could be the one person that person is waiting for, and everyone's voice matters, and everybody's voice has power if they let it.
Yeah, and just to kind of touch base on that, I think that it's a really big goal of mine, a major goal of mine, to allow all people and leaders in life know, whether you're an exec, whether you're on the general board, we all contribute the same. The people on the general board, they call companies, you know, they ask for sponsorships too. So they put in as much work as we do. So it's really about how much you contribute and not about the title. So yeah, I think that was a good thing to bring up.
Thank you. That was. What advice would you have for someone attending Leaders in Life for the first time, either a community member, an adult supporter, or a youth?
I think definitely come in with an open mind, because I think when people see, like, oh, by youth, for youth, that they think it's going to be super childish or super by, you know, geared for teens. But what they don't realize is we really have a big range of, like, maturity that attend these conferences. So we try and kind of attack all aspects of teenagehood or youthhood, I guess you can say. And so, and honestly, to admiring the work we have done, because it's been a long journey, and it's really fascinating to see that us teens were able to put this together. And that's something that a lot of adults tell me, and like the rest of the people in Leaders in Life, is it's amazing that we can do this.
Yeah, and if you're the first time at the conference, don't be shy. We're here for you. We're here to help you. Don't be scared to ask questions. Get involved if you're interested. Participate as many ways as you can. We're here to help you, and we're here to encourage you.
Thank you. So for students who are listening and want to get involved in Leaders in Life here in Kern County, what is the best way to do that?
So the best way to do that would be to go to your school counselor. Each school nominates people to attend these conferences and to be a part of Leaders in Life. But if you don't want to do that, we do have a form on www.leadersinlife.org. And on there is the form to fill out and to send back to our adult advisor. And that's how you can, join. We also do have a social media. It's Leaders in Life _. And on there, too, you can see updates and all of that. And that's on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. So we've covered a lot of information. But before we wrap up, I want to make sure that we shed a light on something you want to share. What is something that you think is important or that you need to bring awareness to?
Something that I definitely want to bring awareness to is all people do have a voice, whether that is an adult or whether that is a student. And students truly need to realize that if we can do this, so can you. If I am able to be up here and I am able to speak up here, like no problem in front of people, then so can you. And I was that shy person too. And I hope that the listener that is listening to this can connect with me. But I danced for a lot. Many years of my life, like 10 years, and I will say each time before I went on stage to perform, I was so anxious. Like just being in front of people, I couldn't fathom the idea of it. So I was able to get over that, you know, that little bridge of fearness and anxiety of having to be in front of people. But if I can do it, so can you. And not only just speaking, but being able to take over such big roles in the community, everyone can do it. So it's just, if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
Yeah, something that I wanted to talk about was, to the people who are listening, if you're an adult or a student and you are in a leadership position, it's important to be able to create a space for the students who feel like they aren't heard or they feel like they are hurt or they want to be more involved. Students can't be more involved in those things if they don't know how or they don't understand that there is somebody there who is just waiting for them to come to them. So it's important that we're able to make those things known, and not only known, but also understood.
What are each of you most proud of?
I'm proud of, I'll have to say, my leadership skills. And kind of how, like I said earlier, leadership is a big category. It's like the speaking abilities, the organization abilities to have. But not only that, a big part of being a leader is being comforting. And so people will come to me, they'll speak to me, and I love speaking to people, helping people overcome their problems. So that is just something that I'm proud of, is that I am, as I would like to say, a good leader.
Yeah, something that I'm proud of, just kind of a little bit unrelated, is just my ability to, I guess, not discern, but see where somebody's at, which I think has a lot to do with like my spiritual beliefs and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it helps give me knowledge to be able to understand people, but also to know how to communicate with them. And that's something I'm really proud of, because it's something I've also really worked on. Because when I was younger, I was kind of the person that was just like, I really don't care. Just go away. Leave me alone. So I think that I've really grown in that area, which is, I feel like I'm really proud of that.
Meeting people where they're at is definitely something to be proud of. What are you guys' plans for the future, plans or goals you have for the future?
I am a junior now, so I will be going to college soon. I'm excited. My biggest goal, honestly, is to bring Leaders in Life to wherever I go. And I really am hoping somewhere on the East Coast. So I would love to start, you know, a Leaders in Life over there for those teens out there, because I think it's such a good organization for students to be a part of, to learn how to gain your own voice. And so if I can just bring not only this organization, but a bit of home over there with me in New York.
Yeah, I think one of my goals, of course, is going to college as a junior. So one of my goals is definitely going to college. But I also want to make sure wherever I go that I'm able to help better people. But not only that, but also better myself. I think there's always something to learn. And I think there's always areas to grow. And as I grow, I want to have other help other people grow with me. And like it says in the Bible, iron sharpeneth iron. So I think that's something that I really want to do.
Very, very, very inspiring to our young listeners.
Thank you.
Guys. Last but not least, our signature question. What is your life motto?
Okay, so my life motto, I'll have to say, is YOLO. I say YOLO after basically everything I'm saying, which I'm proud of. I really contained myself today, guys, so that's exciting. But yeah, if people are like, oh, I don't know, I'm scared to go speak in front of that group, or oh, I don't know, I'm scared to go join that club at school. Like, why are you scared? YOLO. Like, you only have this moment to do it. Just go. You only live once, guys.
Yeah, and mine is a little bit more serious, but here we are, guys. I'm going to read it. It's James 3:10-12. It says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what it's saying here is basically you can't be double-sided. So if I was to go tell my mom I love you and then I grab this water bottle and go dump it over her head, that's not showing what I'm saying in the same way. But even if you're not spiritual, I feel like this could still apply to you. Just be kind to people and mean what you say. You can be the same no matter where you're at. I think that it's important to understand that it's okay to be who you are, and you don't need to be two ways, and you can say what you feel, but you could also say it in a nice way.
Yeah, and kind of to touch base on that, my motto was completely different, but yeah, it's true. This world needs more positivity and more kindness, and us as the new upcoming generation, we're going to be the future adults pretty soon, honestly. We have the power to make this world more kind, and we can really change it if we put our minds to it.
Well, first and foremost, thank you. And it's okay that life mottos aren't the same. I promise you, every life motto is very personal to whoever is saying it. And so it's okay. Everyone's different. And I agree with you. I do think that kindness is such a big thing in this world, especially when sometimes our outside world is very unkind. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's the end of our episode. It feels like it was flown by, but Alyssa and Sienna, thank you so much for sharing your stories and giving us an inside look at what it takes to lead leaders in life. It is so incredible to hear the work you do and how much you do for your community and for your fellow youth and how much you take pride in what you do.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for even allowing us to be able to speak on who we are. And I hope to listeners listening that we were able to inspire you and, you know, maybe you'll contact us and be able to bring a Leaders in Life to your community or start something like us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited that we got to be here. And I hope that to whoever's listening that you're able to relate to us and you feel inspired to do something similar to what we're doing in your community too.
Yes, I know you're. If we can do it, so can you.
Wow. What an incredible conversation with Alyssa and Sienna. It is so inspiring to hear how Leaders in Life is completely student-led and has empowered thousands of students over the past 25 years. It's proof that when young people are given the opportunity to lead, they create something truly powerful. I want to give a huge thank you to Alyssa and Sienna for taking the time to be with us, especially so soon after this year's historic 25th annual Leaders in Life Conference. I know how much work goes into making this event happen, and it is truly amazing to hear about their leadership and dedication to keeping this conference strong for the future generations. One of my biggest takeaways from today's episode is that leadership isn't about waiting for permission, it's about stepping up and using your voice and making things happen. Not only that, but really showing what a leader is through action. It's not a title, it's the actions you put behind the word leader. Leaders in Life is a perfect example of what's possible when students take charge and shape the experiences they want to see. Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoy what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment to leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness of the podcast and find new listeners. And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com. Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.